Hey dudes and dudettes, it's like time for another episode of COL Drag Race Tea Time Radical! So like, in this episode, the queens turn back time to 1993 and take the guys to Beverly Hills 90210! Find out who was all that and who wasn't fly at COL Drag Race Tea Time Season 9, Episode 7 starts now! And live!
RuPaul Drag Race!
Hey everybody, it's May 9th, 2017, and welcome to Cubs Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time Season 9, Episode Lucky Number 7. And for those of you that aren't familiar with what the hell we're doing, we are discussing RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9 and the latest episode. And I happen to be Gary, and with me are my two fantastic, fabulous, fierce co-hosts.
Hey everybody, it's Damon. Hi.
Hey everyone, Chester.
Sorry. Y'all don't know what to do with me every time I do that.
No, I'm laughing because you've got the tiniest little bit of Valley Girl voice in you right now.
What are you talking about? All right. Well, it's better than doing vocal fry. All right, so before we get into our regular topics, we do have some feedback. This is regarding our most recent episode of COL Drag Race Tea Time, when we went over episode 6 from this season 9, and P-Funk, which is at DFTBA Paul. This cracks me up to no end, because all he said apparently was, "Lord, I've been resurrected." Woohoo! I don't know what that means. I'm like, and I couldn't find it because one of you two copied it into our document we work off of. And I'm like, was it Twitter? Was it Facebook? Was it like, I don't know where it came from.
Oh, you know what? I'm pretty sure it was from Twitter.
Okay. Probably Twitter. Yeah.
Then it might have been a direct message because I didn't, look Twitter. For it and I couldn't find it. So, but yeah. So I'm not sure what that means by the resurrected, like if that episode resurrected him or what we said resurrected him. I'm not sure.
But either way, thank you.
Yes, we appreciate it. And we hope you enjoy this episode too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Enough of those shenanigans. Let's get into the thoughts on the episode. I'll go first. Comedy and acting challenge.
Ooh.
Here's my shocked face.
Lord.
We knew it was coming. We knew that this is a standard seasonal episode that happens. I mean, the only other one I can think of, well, there's two more that I can think of. Usually, almost the very last one is a music video with Rue. And before that, there's a product selling episode of some sort. You got to promote merch, something about you that relates. So we got comedy and acting, and it was 90210 Ho, which was a parody twist on the Beverly Hills 90210 original classic from back in 93. Yet again, some people can do comedy, some people can act, and others can't.
Can't.
Or,
as we learned.
Or choose not to. I'm not sure which is which in this case, because there were two people in the main challenge that I just don't know what was going on with them. So I think they were trying, but they like one was not taking criticism. Nina Bonina Brown. And the other just was mean mugging to the camera all the time, and that pissed me off. And I'm surprised that the guest judges who were directing didn't call her out on that.
But mean mugging?
She just, every time she said something, it was a hair flip and then right to the camera. And I'm like, okay, you're not supposed to break the fourth wall all the time, girl. Like, it just,
I love your very subtle little shade on Miss Brown.
Well, she does not take direction well.
She does not.
I say ever because I don't think I've seen a moment where she has. So that's kind of debatable. Before I get to you, Damon, though, I do want to say one thing. Every season they change up what we're doing. And this season, the change up seems to be they've drastically reduced the number of mini challenges.
Yeah.
And I read an article today talking about it was something else, but they mentioned the missing beloved mini challenges. So I don't know if like that was a feedback piece because of the new direction that they went, like because they're on a bigger channel, or if that was just WoW Presents, you know, the company that produces the show. I don't know what happened with that, but yeah. Now it seems more like they're tasty morsels if we're ever going to get one.
Yeah,
as opposed to nearly every episode. So
yeah, because
big challenge to get through today. Go ahead, David. Yeah.
Like because Chester mentioned it a few episodes ago that he misses the mini challenges, and I will say I've not missed them, as I have just been like, oh, they're not being done. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it does leave. It makes sense about what's been going on. Like suddenly, oh, you were in the bottom and you were safe, so now you're the leader of this challenge kind of thing. It's like, oh, well, I guess that makes sense. Not really, but you know, it's kind of like you would think that the winner last week's challenge, if you're not going to do something to create a winner, then maybe the winner of the last, you know, whatever would then go on and kind of continue down that line, but you know, whatever, it's television, do whatever you want.
I think it's a crazy, like, I'll call it a mind fuck, for lack of a better reference, to be in the bottom two, to win at Lip Sync for Your Life, and then the very next challenge next week, you now are responsible for things. So I'm wondering if there's something really going on intentionally with that, because I don't think anybody who has been in the bottom two before and then put in charge royally screwed up.
Yeah.
So it's almost like it's working from a psychological effect. Like now the pressure's on, like either, like if your ass is going to stay here, like you better bring it for the next thing. But then that's what's causing this like notable issue that there's like three key competitors and they're sort of now in this horse race for who's got the most wins.
Huh. Got it. All right.
So three. I don't know. We'll see.
Let's
you think on that. Later. You think on that, Chester. David, what are your thoughts on the episode?
So I wrote down bitter bitches get bagged. I'm just going to put it out there. We had, if you've not seen the episode, sorry, you're going to get a big spoiler pretty early on in this show. Meant to play bitches on the show, who kind of are bitches on the show, job of playing bitches on the show. So therefore, they ended up being in the bottom, and one of them went home. Again, like you said, this is my shock face. Yeah, it goes to show you, like I know it was an acting challenge, and I know that it was a comedy kind of acting challenge. And one of the things that you need to do in something like this, especially something that's scripted, is you kind of need to shine in a way that puts you in a positive light, not necessarily a negative one. And sorry, Nina, I agree with you, Gary. Director is giving you direction, which is kind of what the whole title means, director. Then and pay attention and do something different with it. Or, I mean, go the extreme. Like, if you're going to do this and then do that,
then there's not really much to go on. But if you do this and then you go, oh my shit and God, like that, yeah, someone's gonna like, you're gonna be like, okay, well, maybe you could tone it down a bit. Give us something to kind of work with. And again, like, holy fuck, Aja, like you whined about getting this role and then you got it. Good for you. Absolutely nothing with it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I feel kind of bad for her about that. But at the same time, she asked for it.
Yep.
So yeah. Overall, I wasn't really wowed by the episode. Nothing really stood out for me. It was just kind of a filler episode for me. I could have gone without the episode. There was more in Untucked than there was in the show. And it's funny because I think you said it last week, Gary, that you kind of need to watch both of them in order to get a broader scope of what's going on in the show. And while I normally do watch the Untucked episodes, I also watch the review with Raja and Raven and Whatchapackin' if I remember about it. Yeah. But yeah, I've gotten to the point where when I'll watch the episode and then I'll watch Untucked. And then a couple days later, when I go to watch them again, I will watch the episode. And right after they do the first judges panel, I will switch over to Untucked and then go back because I want it together.
Yeah, I started doing that broken arrangement, what, a year ago or 2 years ago, Damon? Like, I just wanted to see it in real time, quote unquote, like how it plays out.
Yeah.
But I haven't done that in the past, like, two episodes, I think, in this season, just because how things were happening. And
yeah.
But yeah, so this one was interesting. I think it's interesting, Chester, that you're like, I could have gone completely without it. And I'm like, whoa, okay.
Well, no. I get
just
it.
The episode itself, not the, once they do the runway, I thought the runway was great. I loved just about everyone's look. I don't have many faults that I'm finding in people's runway look. But it's just the 90210 episode itself just didn't really hold my attention.
Lackluster.
Yeah. And yeah, I will totally agree that I'm getting really tired of the production value of the show, namely the lights. Again, I don't remember who was up there, but I was looking at her and I'm like, Jesus Christ, why does she look so pink? And I don't think it was her outfit that was that pink. And the mini challenges are gone. Why are there no mini challenges? I am going to be pissed if the library is not open.
I have a feeling that's coming.
It fucking better be.
If what I saw in the preview for this week's episode is true, I have a feeling it's happening probably this episode. But that's just me. Like, I saw a couple things. I was like, oh, okay. Well, we'll see. I was not a fan of the 90210 show. So a lot of the stuff that they that went on in the show, I didn't get, and maybe that's part of it too. Like, I didn't watch 90210. I didn't particularly care for 90210. I know a few things here and there just because of, it was so fucking popular. But other than that, I had forgotten that Shannon Doherty's character was kind of a bitch. And then that Tiffany Amber Thiessen replaced her on the show when she left the show. And she was also meant to be a bitch too. And it's like, okay, well, I went and looked it up. Like, I had to go online and kind of read some of the stuff on Wikipedia just to kind of get a good idea about certain things. Like, I knew who Grandrea was. I knew who that was because I remember that character and everyone always knocking her because she looked so old and older than everyone else on the show. You know, it's one of those things that I recognized, but that was it. Like, it didn't, the show 90210 did not appeal to me, so I never really watched it. A lot of the stuff that happened probably didn't appeal to me because, oh, they're just acting some silly show that I have know nothing about.
Yeah, I never watched 90210. I could not really care about it, but that's part of just my personality. I've not often been on the cusp of a new show that everyone's losing their mind over.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm trying to think of another show that Friends. Everybody, when I was in college, was watching Friends. Could not, like, on a Thursday night, you couldn't find anybody anywhere doing anything because they were all glued to the TV on must-see TV, you know, NBC Thursday night, and they were watching Friends. And I was like, oh, and Seinfeld. And I was like, so, you know, to me, 90210 was just another part of that. And it was actually right at that window time when I was in college that I probably should have been maybe interested in it. But then again, maybe not. So yeah. I don't know, but yeah, I think, maybe we're just so used to the formula and that's why we're not really like excited about this particular episode because we know it's an acting very challenge. Well. We know that there's some people that are going to shine. Some people are going to fall down, you know, so you want to ready to move on?
Sure.
All right. So, thoughts on Untucked? Damon, why don't you lead us off? What did you think about the behind the scenes?
Sure. I've heard down memories, and that's kind of it's sort of a glimpse of the episode and also of the Untucked. There was a lot of talk about like high school and how good and bad it was for people, and that kind of became this sort of overarching theme about the shows of in and of himself. You know, a lot of the character, not all characters, God, a lot of the queens, shared a lot of their personal history in regards to their high school life and what have you. And we got to see Farrah's mom, which is kind of fun. And I love her little jokes about, I'm glad RuPaul taught her how to use a camera. You know, it was just kind of funny and cute and learning a little bit more about the family life. So those are the things that kind of caught me up, you know, with the show. There's other things too, but that was one of the big ones.
Okay. Chester, before you start, I think we need to make a statement because I realize what you're going to talk about. You're going to kind of give it away. Sooner, I think, than in any previous episode of us doing this recap show, Chester is about to spill some tea about who went home.
I can't help it. That'd be a touching moment.
That's fine. And I thought about it for a moment and I was like, oh yeah, that wasn't Untucked. It was towards the end, but it was
towards the end. So Aja went home. She was sent packing. And it was surreal because she was in the workroom and she was, you know, talking to the camera like how they do when they're packing up their stuff and telling the camera how touched she was by how everybody treated it kind of like a family ordeal there. And it's funny because on my notes I've even got it wrote down this week on RuPaul's group therapy show. But there is one part where she's packing up her dresses and she pulls some out and she's like, I'm gonna leave these for Nina. Because every week the judges keep reading her for not wearing a different silhouette. And she's like, and I want to make sure that I'm helping out my fellow queens. And I thought that was really sweet that she did that.
Yeah. It was really sweet. It was a random... We've seen it happen before where some of the queens have like given another queen stuff because they're like, I'm not going to use it or I'm not going to be able to do it right now. So here you go kind of thing. And I like that idea. In this particular instance, it's never been... This bitch just kicked me off the show.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to be nice to her and give her something because I feel like she needs it. And maybe that's, you know,
touches it a little bit more. I don't think anybody on this season has been intentionally fucking over somebody else. And I think that's why there is such closeness between them, because they all seem pretty good about helping one another.
Well, yeah.
When Aja had on that blue dress and nobody told her. Or at Alexis.
You mean Alexis.
Yeah, Alexis.
It's an A. It starts with an A. That's all that matters. But no, it's just, it's one of these things where I agree with you, Chester. Like, it's getting very, they're a lot closer than I think a lot of the queens were. Yes, there's a competition going on, but this is the first season where we've seen them kind of really bonding. There's been a lot of, like, you know, workroom, like, hug fest and, like, tears and, like, touch, you know, touchy things. You know, there's been a lot of that this season. And I think maybe more so than seasons past. So maybe that's what it is that it's becoming a the family. So, yeah.
I've been listening to some other things, podcasts and reading articles online and stuff. Interestingly, Bob the Drag Queen did an interview, and I don't remember who it was with. I think it was a gay publication, and that he was asked, it was just, you know, question answer style, basically. And he was asked about this, like, queens leaving other queens, like, stuff. And he said that it's happened before, that he knows it's happened, but to his knowledge, never has a queen actually used in the competition something that was left to them by somebody else.
Huh. Interesting.
And I thought that was very interesting, and it made me wonder if contractually that's something that is written. Like, we know that people have borrowed things. So, like, Peppermint revealed in Untucked an episode or two ago about how Alexis gave her that dress or that skirt that she got red for, the pink one that wasn't really fitting. It was part of the negligee, you know, naughty negligee thing or whatever. I just thought that was pretty interesting. So from what we can tell, they can lend things to each other or borrow things, but I don't know if gifting outright is technically permissible. I don't know. It's difficult to say, or if it's just purely circumstance, you know, it's serendipity that they don't get the chance to use anything that was given to them because then they go home.
Like, yeah.
Soon that after. Maybe
It could also be, you know, no offense, like, what you gave me was shit. Like, I'm not going to be mean. But, like, you know, it's entirely possible that something that you've given me is not what goes with my style, my aesthetic, my look that I'm going for. Therefore, I can't really use it. I appreciate the gesture, clearly, but I can't really use it. I want to see what happens with Nina after this. She's been given something by Aja, what she does with it, what she says about it. I don't think there would be any real reason for there to be a contractual, like, obligation to, like, you must use your own things or what have you. You can't use something someone gave you. I don't know. It just, because it'd be hard to, keep track of. Like, you had this, and this.
I don't necessarily think so, because the cameras are always on them. Like, I don't think they ever get a free moment that they're alone. I honestly think that the cameras follow them to the bathroom.
Hmm.
Like, not into the stall, necessarily, but they'll, you know what I mean? So I think it is quite possible for the camera crew, for that production staff, you know, that's watching, you know, to know when something's been borrowed or whatever. I don't know. I mean, to me, that would make the competition harder.
Hmm. Yeah.
If that was a new rule that came into play, say, you know, in season 10, where everything that you brought is all that you can work with. Unless it's provided to you by the show or something of that sort. Like, I think that would really kind of put the hammer down on, like, either you were prepared or you weren't. So, I don't know. But that being said, in terms of Untucked, there were two things that came across to me. The first was that they were keeping 100. I know that some people think that Trinity is a shit stirrer, that she is trying to drum up some verbal drama with the question about, you know, who the top contenders are, blah, blah, blah. Valentina kind of calls out and says, you know, that that was a rude question. But she also doesn't make any more heyday of it and actually wants to participate in finding out the answer. So I'm like, I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, they're just being honest with each other. I think they're being truthful. I don't know if Trinity was honest when she said that Alexis was the queen sitting with her. But I think, because my feeling on it was that she did it to spite Valentina, but maybe not.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, no offense, Valentina was being an absolute bitch at that moment. Like, I could not get over the obnoxiousness of her and her, like, you know, hands under chin, blinking eye crap. I was like, really, girl? I was like, I get it. Yeah. You're channeling Diana Ross and Mahogany, but back the fuck up for a second. Like this conversation is Trinity's to have, not yours. But yeah, so I don't know. So I thought they were keeping 100, but then my second thing is family values seem to be the overriding theme of Untucked this time. Pheromone gets a video from home from her mother. Everybody likes the video and is not surprised that Pheromone's mother is great in her, like, I think, well-prepared comments to the camera and what she reveals about Farrah, and everybody's like, yep, totally see it.
Yeah.
Like, see your personality coming through in the way your mom talked about you. And then it also comes over in that for valid family values, they're talking about their parents. And I thought it was very interesting. I think Farrah is a lot smarter than she may come across initially in the show, because she's talking about the dynamics and stuff. And she was like, you know, she says about, you know, Nina's, you know, mom, and that she wanted it, and then it was her mom. And then she's like, you know, about who's going to be next. You know, I thought that was very insightful that she was kind of like looking at if there's a pattern or not. And then, you know, Trinity, they kind of asked the question about, you know, who would you want your video from? And then Trinity opens up and kind of reminds us that the people that raised her, her mother and her grandmother, are gone.
Yeah.
And Aja, I think it was, I'm actually going to say this for once. I think it's the edit. I didn't like how it appeared Aja pounced right on that immediately. Where she says about how she was adopted.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the normal conversation, there was a little bit more of a moment before she turned around and said that. But I mean, this is what I mean by, like, family values. Like, they're opening up, talking about their backgrounds and their environment. And Farrah talks about what it was like in high school and, you know, her parents and how they were understanding. Well, at least her mother was. I was very confused about that story, by the way. So her dad takes her to the store, says, no boy of mine is going to have Barbies, then comes back with a bag full of Barbies, and yet then she bastardizes him and calls him an asshole as a father that raised her. I was like, wait, are these the same person? Because I don't understand how he would buy you Barbies after he said he wasn't going to buy you Barbies, and then, like, but then he was a bad father. I don't know. So I'm thinking there might have been a stepfather in the situation, and we just don't quite know that. Maybe hard to say. But
interesting.
Could be.
Yeah, so I mean, I just thought that it was interesting, you know, that they were being honest with each other, but they were also talking kind of about their background, you know, and how they were raised in a way, and who they want to hear from. I thought it was revealing that Trinity didn't really know who she wants a video from. It's not easy to be a person who doesn't have that support system. Now, I'm not saying Trinity doesn't have any support system, but when you don't have family, then you have your chosen family. And if you can't think of your chosen family,
yeah,
then I don't know. Like, I know that she's comes from pageant, and I know that she's dedicated and very focused on winning. But that's where I'm kind of like, oh, okay. You know, well, maybe maybe your path has been a bit more solo than we know.
It's entirely possible. It's also entirely possible that maybe she didn't want to say too much. You know, it was getting, it could be, it was, they talked about it before, like it was Farrah's kind of moment. Yeah, they were talking about family and whatnot, but it was Farrah's, you know, you know, messaging her and what have you. So it's entirely possible that she just didn't want to say more to kind of take the focus off away from Farrah, you know, and put it on her. So I agree with you, Gary. I think there was a lot of like family in this episode, and it's kind of a, there's a loving element here that is we've not seen before. Very much like a whole family affair kind of thing.
Agreed. And that's the part that's kind of curious for me, is to see where this continues on. So we're ready to move on to takeaways?
Sure.
All right. So Chester, why don't you lead us off?
So I just want to point out that for me, Aja's look was one of the best ones up on the runway. It was definitely her strongest look overall, all season long, from the hair to the makeup to her actual outfit. I think it was her best one yet. So when I watched it the first time and I was really impressed, when she went home, I wasn't really that surprised. But then when I was watching it the second time, I realized something, that Aja has been steadily getting better and better. And it's one of those things that the judges look for, that the judges will keep you around if you're taking their critiques and you're making it a point to accept them and work on yourself. That is the whole point on coming to these shows. And, you know, to win the $10,000 or $100,000, sure. But it reminds me, and I said it last week, it reminds me that she's kind of like Adore 2.0. Same thing happened to Adore. She struggled almost every week consistently. And when she started listening to the critiques and the other queens would help her and give her suggestions, and Adore did those things, all of a sudden she got really, really great. And Adore went on to be the top three. So it just makes me wonder, you know, if Aja would have made it through tonight, where would she land next week?
I think if Aja had gone through, if she had made it through, I think she would have, I agree with you, I think she would have done a total, like, 360. When she was in the bottom two a couple of weeks ago, with her, that one look, that heat miser look that she had on. you know, she was in a different place than she was now. She seemed a lot more humble. Even though she got kicked off, she, you know, when she was talking about it, she felt like she talked about how, you know, she talked about some, she has her inner demons and she was fighting those things and she was still kind of dealing with that. And, she kind of very much opened up a lot more about what was going on. And I feel that that definitely played a part in where she was. I don't think she felt, it sucks to go home, but she wasn't as terribly upset about it as I think she would have been if she had got knocked off.
I think in the case of Aja, when she came onto the show, she thought she was way up here, and really she was way down here. And throughout the show, when people are helping her along, she's realizing that she's got a long way to go. And I think when, you know, probably 2-3 weeks ago, when she realized, you know what, I'm not as good as I could be. And therefore she, you know, changed her attitude in the sense of, I need to be here to learn and try as best as I can, because what I'm doing is just not good enough.
Yeah, for the most part, there was still her bitchy moment in the with this episode, and the whole not getting her way thing. The fact that she didn't want the role.
Right.
It was how she acted afterwards. Like, she asked for, like, can I go take a cigarette? Like, does anyone remember that part? Like, she literally went, like, I need to go take a cigarette. Because she was so pissed, she needed to step away. And I'm like, girl, it's a role. You know, it was a role that could have got you some kudos points, because it was so outside your comfort zone. I think if you had done really well with it, it would have been real, you know, it would have been something that could have kept you, if not safe, it could have put you in the top. Right. And I think they mentioned that a few times in the episode. Like, they it could have been something that could have done something different that would have changed the way they perceived you and maybe been a turning point for you in the competition, and you gave it away. So yeah, go ahead, Gary.
So my takeaway is, like, this is about the time of the season that we start to see this theme that I'm going to use as a statement, which is too little, too late. And by that I mean, if you aren't hitting your stride, I would say by episode 4 going into 5, now that we're at episode 7 going into 8, it's too late.
Yeah.
Because you should know your look, you should know your brand, you should know conceptually what you're bringing, what you're delivering, and like how to execute, no matter what it is. And it's hard. That's the whole point of this competition, is it's not easy. And I think Aja just wasn't ready quick enough. I agree with you, Chester, that I never saw the parallel till you pointed out tonight that basically she's on the same path as Adore was. But notably, Adore had Bianca, like, in the last 3 episodes, kind of really provide some support with
her along.
Yeah, and, like, you know, help guide her in some stuff and some of the other queens. So I think in this case, that wasn't necessarily happening as much. So we'll see kind of what happens. I'm trying to figure out when to say this, and I guess I'll bring it up now. There's a lot of scuttlebutt, apparently. People have very high opinions about how the lip sync ended. Like, who went home? There are people apparently who really felt that Nina should have gone home and that Aja did a better job at the lip sync. And then there's all this discussion about, you know, is it cumulative? Is that what Rue's taking into account? If it's cumulative, then why is the lip sync even happening? So I think it's a little bit of a balance of both. I watched the lip sync again today, and I know why Nina won and Aja didn't. I'm not Rue, so I can't say that this is what was happening. But if there is anything I have seen consistently in all the seasons of the show, if you want a guaranteed ticket to your ass going out the door, be rude to your fellow competitor. When you're not nice to them during the lip sync, it comes back and bites you in the ass. And I'm not talking about Mimi, I'm first, trying to pull a WWE move.
Yeah.
I mean, that one was super obvious. I'm talking about, you both are on a stage sharing a space. You should dynamically be paying attention to the other person while performing and stand out, not copycat. Like we already talked about with fucking Kimora Black this week. I can't even believe I said her name. So like, that was the part that bugged me, was that Aja appeared. I don't think this was intentional, but it appeared for like a little bit of time. She was doing almost exactly what Nina was doing. And that was so weird to me, because I would be thinking to myself, don't do what she's doing. Like, I'm here to represent me. So like, because some, I was listening to some folks kind of recap, and they were, you know, Aja did, you know, this death drop, kick split, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yes, but I'm thinking, but dancing isn't everything. Do you know what's really uncalled for? Getting in somebody else's face.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the moment it turned for Aja was when Nina and her had both done backbends. And everybody's like, yes, you know, and they're like losing their mind because both of them are doing the same move at the same time, like it was choreographed, which it shouldn't be. And then Nina goes over to the end of the T of the stage and comes back across, and she's, you know, squatting down to the floor, and she's doing like, she's doing ballroom voguing, and she's coming, and Aja decides to like get in front of her, like pelvis to Nina's face. And I was like, rude, uncalled for. You do not need to be a runway obstruction, because now you're focusing on Nina, not on your performance.
Mm-hmm.
Your ash should be someplace else, or you should have gone around her. You shouldn't have made that big of a production of it. And then the rest of the time, it really seemed like Nina was really delivering it like, girl, I ain't got time for you. You are nothing but a fly bugging me. Like, she just kept delivering. And the first time I saw it, I really liked Nina's lip sync. I also was so entranced, I could not take my eyes off of her, because for once, her makeup and her look was absolutely like her. Like, I know she gets some criticism because her makeup seems unpolished. And a lot of people have been discussing whether or not that's actually a style, because it's very like sketch artist drawn as opposed to, you know, glamour or whatever. But notably, like, I had no doubt what she was representing, and her contouring and her lines were so crazy because she made her face look long and almost three-dimensional. And so every time it's on her with the big freaking hair and all of that, I was just like constantly being drawn to her. And while Aja had a nice, you know, outfit that I found out that she made, it's, you know, it's not working, unfortunately. So for me, I think that's what really changed the lip sync in the very end, was you really started putting the wrong focus. Like, instead of focusing on you and your performance to the crowd, to the judges, now you were really showing like that you were seeing a threat out of the other person or something of that sort. And that kind of bugged me, because I'm like, because if I was up there, and I realize not everyone may agree with me, but if I was up there, I would be annoyed as fuck.
Yeah.
If the person I'm competing against is pulling those shenanigans and shit, it's like, really? That's uncalled for. Do you know when it works? When you're being highly competitive? Does everyone remember when the two drag queens crawled on top of each other and simulated having sex and the judges lost their fucking minds because suddenly it turns into this kai kai on stage? Like, that is how you're healthy.
You're talking about Rajan Carmen Carrera.
Sex sells, baby, and they knew how to play it up. Mm-hmm. So I think some of the highest standard lip syncs have been honestly about delivering an authentic version. And while I love the song that they did, I don't know. I was just expecting a little more, but that's hard to say because it's such a classic gay song. So,
well, that's just the thing with that song. It's too damn slow. While I like the song, and yeah, I will agree, it's a classic, you know, in gay terms, it's classic. Every gay man knows that song. That's born.
Finally, a slow song?
But I thought it was just too slow to be lip-syncing to.
It was a very classic 90s song. I almost want to, like, did it come out in 93? Like, I'm wondering if they were sticking to that kind of theme.
Yeah.
So, sorry. I'm...
Go look it up. I get what you're saying, though, Chester, that it's... that it, for a dance song in the club, it is slower, but I think, like Damon's pointing out, like, for the time frame, we didn't think of it then. But if you compare it now to, like, Britney's I Wanna Go... Do you know what I mean? Like, it
came out in 91.
Those two, it's different. What's that?
Good to know. All right. Sorry.
When did it come out, Damon?
91, 91, 92, it looks like.
Okay. So that's about the time frame that we're playing with, because the essence is it's the class of 93. So
yeah,
in theory, the start of the 90210 episode is in the fall of 92, and then they get to graduation the following year. So yeah, it's about that time. Yeah. But anyways, I just think it was too little too late, unfortunately for Aja. Also, someone else pointed out, which made me laugh like hell, if there's anything you ever do, oh, I think it was Bob the Drag Queen in the interview. He said, if there's anything you ever do, do not take Michelle's advice because your ass going home.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Cracked me up to no end. Like, I'm pretty sure if anybody wants to do an analysis and go back and see how many times people went home after they did what Michelle asked for, it's probably that statistical ratio is probably kind of high, because notably Aja, you know, presented a complete look and had changed her makeup, and then she went home. Not because of that, but it's just like an odd.
So Michelle Visage is the actual Black Widow of the show. would you mind like doing like, cause like, and the thing, like, realize she's the one that told Nina to change up her look because we're tired of seeing the same thing.
Yeah. It's not 100%, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's like in the 60s, maybe up into the 70s, that someone does what Michelle says and then they go home. Damon, what about you? What is your takeaway?
I put high school can suck, and it's mostly to do with some of the stuff that we've, you know, already talked about how their whole, you know, their stories and whatnot, and how some of them talked about how they had some not so pleasant experiences in high school. But it also is a kind of tongue in cheek thing about the whole episode in and of itself. This, the whole 90210 thing, you had to rise up to the challenge, and if you didn't, it sucked. Like, you kind of suck. Like, the people who were safe, I knew they were going to be safe. Because everyone's runway look kind of was great in its own kind of way. No one had a really, really, like, awful runway look. So you kind of had to look at the challenge in and of itself. Some people shined, didn't. And then you had that middle ground that kind of were okay. And that was Peppermint, Farrah. That was it. I think they very much did okay. They didn't do great. I like that Peppermint didn't have the greatest, she was Jason Priestley's character, which, you know, no offense, that was it's a very male centric character. I kind of remember from him, so, but he was meant to be more like, oh, he looks really good. It wasn't really like super awesome, like great, you know. He didn't have much of a character arc as far as I could tell. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay, as the Jeannie Garf character, I believe she was who she was playing. No, Jeannie Garf. No, Valentina went in the back, right? Pop. Anyway, doesn't matter. And Alexis was, her character, I will say, wasn't the biggest character, and she did well enough with it that it like I said, it made her safe. It wasn't like a bad, bad thing. I don't think. So yeah, high school can suck in the sense that this challenge in and of itself could have been a lot. And yeah, we were all kind of meh about it, but I think it could have been a lot better if you had put more into it. I think everyone could have, in a sense, honestly. I know they probably only, I don't know how long they had with the scripts or what have you, but it's there was so much you could have put into it, look-wise, acting-wise, that could have done a lot to help you succeed.
That's fair. We're ready to continue on to the next topic?
Sure.
Gentlemen, start your engines, and may the best woman win!
All right, so snaps and eye rolls or hits and misses. For me, I'm going to give snaps to two things. Drama slaps. I think for the first season ever, every single dramatic slap looked correct. I don't know how many times I have seen people try to do a dramatic slap and they just don't get the timing right. And I'm like, oh my God, people, it's not that difficult. It's just a little coordinated choreography. So I was ecstatic when the bitch slapping started at the prom dance and they were getting it right. Like, and being overly dramatic with the response. Like, it hasn't been that good, I think, since Jujubee and RuPaul went head to head in their little skit or whatever. And they just kept slapping the shit out of each other. And I was like, oh my God, she hit her a second time. Like, I mean, it was one of those things that kind of, like, you know, it tickled me. So I want to give snaps for that. I also want to give snaps to, as Chester mentioned earlier, Aja's runway. Of all the people on the runway, I thought Aja's was, if not the best, it was stellar compared to what she's done before. Although, yeah, I did realize exactly who she was channeling unintentionally. I don't think this was what she meant, but it finally occurred to me today when I watched the episode again as to which fictional character I thought she looked like. Mm-hmm. Now, I did not read these books, but I did see the movies, and I cannot remember the character's name, but I'm going to describe who it is, and I'm sure both of you will know who I'm talking about, including some people in our audience. Who do you think, David?
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
Only from her hair, I would say the Queen of Hearts from Alice in Wonderland.
That's fair. Yeah, she did have a Helena Bonham Carter, like, you know, Alice, Queen of Hearts kind of hairstyle, but not her. It's from The Hunger Games.
Oh, Effie?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that style of couture and the hair was so Effie. The only thing she needed to do was pump up the color on her face,
yeah,
and put feathers coming off of her eyes. And instantly, I think the judges would have been like, oh, I know this is a character that you're presenting. Because it's the look of that style and that dress and everything, because it's kind of out there, but well done. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think her runway was really good. You know,
yeah.
Yeah. So I can see my eye rolls. Okay. This goes back to something that Chester said, I think, at the top of the show. I'm giving eye rolls to the goddamn production crew. I am now so irritated with whoever the fuck is running the show, because this particular show, everybody needs to go back and watch The Runway. And you tell me how many of them motherfuckers need to look pink and purple when they're doing The Runway and they come towards the camera. Now, I heard a theory as to why they're doing it, because someone else, actually, there's another podcast I listened to, they criticized it. And the theory was that some people have said that those colors are meant to tone down the HD issue that the show is now having because of the high definition. Now, all everyone keeps talking about is wig lines and makeup.
Yep.
And, like, they're noticing all the flaws. So
edge your shit.
Right, right. So, you know, there's been some criticism about how Peppermint's wigs, like, not a single one of them that her wig line is glued down correctly, or that she's trying to hide it or something. But the pink purple thing has got to stop. It's insane. I feel like I need to put sunglasses on or something to try to, like, affect what it is that I'm seeing so I can get a real color thing. I'm like, this is insane. So yeah, they're on my shit list right now. I'm like, I don't know what the hell y'all doing. But why no one's picked up on it yet, I do not know. So it really makes me think it's a new lighting crew, something. Weird, weird, weird is going on over there. That being said, speaking of pink and purple, this is a sidebar comment. Why is Peppermint not being red for pink anymore?
Hmm.
Four episodes in, Michelle reads her for pink. Every single time. Do you know what she's still wearing?
Pink.
Pink. Girl, it may be your signature color, but now I'm annoyed. Because I'm like, oh, but you get a criticism and then the judges drop it? How does that work? I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the baby pink.
It could be. I mean, and then Michelle even says in this episode, which was actually very annoying, you came out here in another swimsuit with another jacket. She's telling this to Shay, and she says, but this time it works because I know Shay. Exactly who you are. And I was like, okay. Oh, so one time it works and the other times it doesn't. Like, I don't know. But yeah, so I realize what I'm doing, and I'll get to that in, when we get to our closing thoughts. But those are my snaps and eye rolls. Damon, what about you?
Okay. So my snaps actually go to one of those off the cuff moments that happen in the workroom when RuPaul announces the theme of the show. And she goes, we're traveling back to 1993. And everyone goes, oh. And Farrah goes, that's the year I was born. And everyone kind of face cracks. And Rue literally just like, you fucking better fucking fuck. I was like, what the hell? it just I laughed so hard. I guess I had to. Because it just was one of these, like, I don't know if it was a... Like, she, you know, if it was meant to be a joke or if she just would, like, that just, like, kind of slipped out. Because we know, no offense, Rue's a little old.
Well, and Rue has a potty mouth. And
yeah,
interestingly, now that I, the way I decided to see it this year was I paid for the season and on iTunes. So I get it, like, Saturday morning, like, at 9 a.m. approximately. It pops in middle of the night. From Apple that the episode's available. So when you see it on iTunes, there is no edit, like there's no bleeping.
Oh.
So I got to hear RuPaul actually drop all those F-bombs to Farrah when she says, oh, there was the year I was born. And I think Alexis or whatever is like, what? And she's like, yeah. And that's when Ru turns around and she's like, fuck you. I'm going to fuck your fuck up. Like, I mean, she was just pissed at her for that moment. And I wanted to, and I couldn't figure out how to get it off my device as an audio clip because I wanted to play it in this episode because yes. I'm like, I have been waiting years to try to have a clip of RuPaul saying, don't fuck it up. I finally got one like a year ago, and now I hear it all the time, but I still haven't been able to figure out how to get it like technically recorded off my device without it sounding, you know,
yeah.
Can't keep it.
And it just, like I said, it literally like made... I do DVR, so I literally rewound it and watched it again because it was just like I wanted to hear exactly what she said. Well, with the bleeps, but you get the idea. So it just it was so great. It was a great moment, and so snaps to that because it just was one of these things that just had nothing to do with the show at all. It was just kind of a funny moment. So my eye rolls, unfortunately, are for, Aja and Nina's 90210. Oh, no, she better don't. Because, again, I mentioned it before, this was an opportunity to really shine. You're given these very bitchy characters that you could have done a lot of shit with, and you didn't. You fell really flat. You went this one line, you went this one note, kind of part with it, and it just sucked. You could have really gone like this route with it, and you didn't, and it showed, and that's why you were at the bottom, and that's why I wanted you went home. So I just felt like you could have done so much with it, and you didn't. Although I was really like kind of laughing with Aja and Peppermint's like makeout session. Like they were at like they got the direction to be like they first did it and it was like this like they were like this far apart, like trying to kiss and whatever. It looks so terrible. And I'm so glad they got the notes from Gina Garza-Turk spelling pretty much saying like, hey, when you're in a kiss, you know, in a makeout scene, you kind of had to do it. Like you got to suck it up and do it. And they did. And Peppermint goes, I got all of Aja's tongue down my throat. And I'm like, yeah, that just.
Married now.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's a way to like fake a kiss, but that's. But you have to have the right angles and camera angles. And I don't think that's what they were going for, obviously. And so they have to go for it. And I mean, I'm glad they did. And I love Peppermint's line in the, in Untucked where she's like, she's got the, black lip liner all over her face. Like, yes. So.
Yeah, no, they, I agree that the kiss, that the correction and the redo of the kiss was amazing. Cause it was hysterical to watch. It was, they did that right. The one, you know, that one piece for them. Chester, what about you? What are your snaps and eye rolls?
So my snaps were for Sasha's on point look.
God.
Very on point.
Yes.
Now I do want to preface this and say I wasn't at all surprised by Sasha's look. Asha. Wasn't at all surprised by her look because it's very Sasha. But what I appreciate about it is it's not a departure from what she normally puts out there. She's staying true to what you said earlier, Gary, is true to her brand.
Mm-hmm.
What I appreciate most about it is there is a level of ingenuity behind her aesthetic that I don't think that I have. When I think of big hair, I think of, you know, the 80s Aquanet stuff that everybody was doing. Not Sasha. She's like, well, I can do big hair too. Check out this mohawk. That's 8 foot tall.
Yeah.
So I appreciated Sasha's look overall.
I love the look, and I love that it was not the bigger the hair, higher to God thing. It was a very much total different take on big hair. It was big hair.
It was big hair. It was just punk.
It
big
just
hair.
Wasn't like it's like it wasn't like the big crazy afro. It wasn't like the big like curls that, you know, pulling down the side. It was very much a like, yeah. It was perfect.
I thought it was an amazing execution of the request. You know, it was hair everywhere, which actually technically I think none of them did, because I think if any of them had done it right, they would have walked out like a fucking Sasquatch, and that would have been hysterical. If anybody had come out looking like a goddamn Yeti with an outfit over it, I think that would have been like amazingly not right. But yeah, nobody probably could pack a Chewbacca outfit in their suitcases. So I agree with you, Chester. Sasha went in a whole new direction. Instead of having all this fucking mega hair, she has these pre-done spikes, and she suddenly goes from being the bald queen that she's talked about a couple of times and why she does that in tribute to her mom who died of cancer. And all of a sudden we've got these four big ass black spikes. And I was so impressed because all I kept thinking was, ooh, that's some glue. Like, that's some serious dedication to keep them, like, it spot in, like, and not go anywhere.
Yeah. Like, she also had a pony, like a rat tail in the back, too.
Yes.
I did notice that. But I agree with you. Like, it just, it worked so well. And the glue was a little, I noticed a few moments. It's just me, just because you know how long they're on the stage. I did notice a few times where it was coming a little undone, especially the one like right here. But you know,
yeah,
the bald queen, there's only so much you can do. So,
like I said, it wasn't the fact that she did that, because to me, it was somewhat expected. When she came out, I was like, oh my god, her look is amazing. No, it was Sasha's look. What I liked about it is it's such a departure from everyone else, and she's keeping true to herself.
For that.
Agreed.
My eye rolls were for Alexis in her fucking nitpicking about being perfect to 90210. They wouldn't have those type eyebrows then. They had more natural eyebrows. You're a fucking drag queen. Do whatever fucking eyebrow you want. I was so floored when she said that. I'm like, wait, what? You're actually critiquing her eyebrows. Oh,
it was a little crazy. Excuse me. It was. I know she was a super fan. Like, she super loves 90210. She loved it as a whatever when she was growing up. I get that. Totally get that.
Well, my thinking is, yeah. Didn't we learn earlier in the season not to nitpick people's acting and their makeup? Charlie, sorry.
Yeah, and I will say this. I love how she said, can I give you some advice or some feedback? This is Alexis saying this. And I thought, what if they say no?
Yeah. You know,
like, what if they told you no, girl? Like, what if in that moment you were talking to me and you said, can I give you some feedback? I'd be like, no. Like, can she shut down? Like, but I think this group is they're so tightly cohesive. They're so nice to each other that nobody's actually saying no.
Shut up, bitch. Yeah. I don't need to talk to you right now.
So I'm glad you brought it up, Chester, because that was an annoyance in the show. Everyone was like, we get it, girl. Shay is giving some of the best confessional stuff. Her and Valentine.
Uh-oh.
Gary?
Uh-oh.
Aw. I want to know what he was just about to say there.
Oh. Whoa, that was new. Hey.
I don't know what happened.
So you were about to spill some tea on Shay and Valentina. They were giving some of the best confessionals, and...
And then the camera cut out. I don't know. Not the camera. We use Google Hangouts, obviously. And all of a sudden, it just said, bloop. And then it said I needed to reload. And I was like, oh, no. The show's gone. But I'm glad you both were still there. No, I think that the two of them were giving some of the best confessional statements. Like, the things that they say are just killing me. You know, and Shay was the one that was like, we get it, we get it, we get it. Like, I mean, she knows how to deliver narration. So yeah, it was quite fun. That being said, are we ready to move on to our last topic? Okay. So for closing thoughts, Damon, why don't you start us off? Unless Damon is not with us anymore.
We're just losing people left and right, aren't we?
Apparently. Chester, why don't you start and then we'll see if Damon rejoins. Okay.
So my notes for this says it's a number game at this point. And it wasn't until Evan had pointed out to me last night when we were watching this. He's like, Shay and Valentina have been in the top three for 4 out of 7 episodes. And then he goes on to say that Trinity and Shay have both won 2 challenges. So kind of ties back into what you said towards the beginning about...
I'm laughing because I know where you're going with this, because you're talking about the numbers and I think you're trying to call me out because I said that there were 3 and you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Like, well, where's the 3rd one coming from? I get that Trinity is in the top. Shay is in the top. And, you know, for me, it's a toss-up between Alexis and Sasha. I kind of want Sasha to be... I kind of want Sasha to get further. I really hope she does.
I think that's fair. And that's the thing is, I think we can all agree that there are two potential top contenders because of the, you know, two wins each type thing. So, you know, Shay and Trinity now are kind of going head to head with each other. But that leaves us with Alexis and Sasha and Valentina with one each. Yeah. Now, technically, out of those three, Valentina has been high three times. So she ekes out Alexis and Sasha. And so Sasha was low this week. She didn't do great. Like, she got a bunch of criticism about her lunch lady character.
Right.
And I deservedly so. I didn't think she did that great with it, which was kind of weird.
She didn't. But have you noticed that there are certain queens that excel so much in other things that they just don't excel at other things? Okay. Bianca was the same way. Bianca excelled at everything that they threw at her except for anything that dealt with dancing and singing for the most part. Sasha hasn't really shown any true acting ability.
Right.
There hasn't really been that many chances for them to, I don't believe. This is only like, what, the second acting challenge? Yeah. They did the morning show.
Right.
So I think that's it, just the two.
Well, and notably, she and Shay did great in that one. But right. That's because I think they played off of each other.
Right.
So what we might be realizing is that Sasha is too methodical, too analytical. Because remember when they did Snatch Game, even Rue wasn't sure how Sasha was going to pull off Marlene Dietrich.
Yeah. Even Sasha wasn't sure.
And she did. She did great. Like, she surprised everybody. But that's because I think she decided to keep it simple and stay true to the character. That's all you have to do. And make it funny, obviously. And so I think she did that really well. But in this case, I don't know if, you know, she just wasn't understanding what she needed to do. But so, yeah, I think that she's kind of in a not great spot right now. So, and Valentina, while I said that she's had one win out of her, Alexis and Sasha, they've all had one win each. And then we've got, you know, Shay and Trinity kind of duking it out for two wins each right now. Two wins, although technically two wins and two highs for Shay, two wins and a high and a bottom two for Trinity. So that's why Shay, I think, is like a front runner, like contender right now with a lot of people. But my thing is that someone made a comment, and I was really surprised that I caught online, that Valentina might have a crash and burn coming. And there was a reference to that in either the episode. Yeah, I think it was in the episode. I don't think it was in Untucked. There was a reference to that she's going to crack. I think it was right at the beginning of the episode when they had come back into the workroom and they were talking about Cynthia leaving.
Yeah.
I think there's a reference, and I think Farrah or somebody says something about waiting for Valentina to like have a meltdown or something like that, or to come off her game, I think is what it is. Like, cause she's been so steadfast. She's the only one besides Alexis that has never been low or in the bottom. So they've both had, you know, one win each, but notably Valentina's had high marks three times, Alexis only twice. So that's why I'm saying, I think like it's sort of in that, like they're sort of duking it out. Well, I agree with you that I would like to see Sasha go on. I just don't know how that's going to work unless maybe, you know, in the next challenge, she really pulls it out. And that's the reason why I think we love watching the show, because you just don't know what the hell's going to happen. It's called a reality competition for a reason. So, yep. Damon, now that you're back with us,
Yay!
What are your closing thoughts?
Thank you, everybody. That's sort of sucked. Can or you might lose. It's pretty much my thing. It's one of these things that I've kind of been saying all along. We've mentioned before about how you get very few opportunities in this competition to shine, to do really well, to like outshine pretty much everyone else. And those that are winning and doing really well right now have been doing that pretty consistently. If not challenge per se on the runway, they've been doing these really great things. Trinity is one of my few like examples for it, because her in the 90210 challenge was amazing. Like, she was funny. She cracked me up. She was doing this. She could have done. She was doing all these things. They talk about it in Untucked. Like, she was doing all these things. Wasn't necessarily on her. Like in the prom sequence, she had the like guys pick her up kind of thing, and like things like that. Like it works. It's what you can do to kind of get the spotlight, kind of on you to shine really brightly. And if you don't do that, if you don't take an opportunity, like I've mentioned with Nina and Aja about, like, you could have really gone out, and I will go ahead and say Sasha too, a lunch lady kind of character or waitress or whatever she's trying to be more with it. I mean, she did pretty good with it, but I think she could have done something more with it to make it really over-the-top hilarious. I mean, why the hell was she in the prom or at the graduation? It's like, just, like, wander around aimlessly and just, like, I mean, like, just maybe pull the flask out of your pocket and take a sip. It's just things like that just would have really, I think, could have gone really well. So shine when you can, or you might lose. And as we know, Aja left. And even though she looked really great on the runway, she wasn't doing so well in the challenge. And I think her bitchiness kind of were her downfall. She looked really great. And that was her best look. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough.
And we know that looks aren't everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been said time and time again, so it's not enough to usually save you. There's some other things are being taken into account. For me, my closing thoughts are there are 8 remain. Let the nitpicking begin. Like, we're already kind of talking about it now, but now that we've made it halfway through the competition, basically, I feel like we're at this point that there now you're really going to start to see where the judges, I think, are going to get very specific, and any misstep is possibly the thing that actually sends you home, because you can't hide. Like, this always happens halfway through the competition. There's no more fodder. There's no more fallout zone. Like, there's nobody that is bad that you're like that the viewing audience isn't like, oh, I can't wait for this queen to go home. Like, there's 2 of them possibly right now. One because they're whiny, and the other one because they're just malcontent. And everyone thinks it's everything's a conspiracy theory or something. So I think they're the 2 most likely to go. And if they are actually the next 2 to go, then like now we're actually down to the real competition. You know what I mean? It's like, cause now we're down to people who have been playing the game, working hard, putting themselves out there, that kind of stuff. So I think, that as of next week, the nitpicking is potentially going to begin, because while people thought that Farrah was annoying as all fuck early on, she can execute some looks. So her runways, the last 2 times now, have kind of saved her in a way. Like, kind of made her safe. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think it's very interesting. But that's kind of where I see it. That being said,
yeah,
we're done with this episode recap, at least. There are plenty of ways to reach out and get in touch with us. You can obviously go to our website, cubsoutloud.com. You can send us an email, which is cubsoutloud@gmail.com. You can call us, give a ring-a-ding, leave a voicemail at 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. Or you can go to Facebook, Twitter, Google+. You can put in Cubs Out Loud, lowercase, all one word, you'll find us. You can go to their underground and you can join the COL group there and say hello. You can go to iTunes, you can rate us, you can go to Stitcher Radio, you can give us a thumbs up. Any platform, whatever it is that you're using, Google Play, all that crap. You know, give us some feedback. We'd love it. If you want to find me and get in touch, I go by GearBear73. That's GearBear73. And how about you, Damon?
That was fast. I'm TheaterCup79 on Bear Underground, Tumblr, Growler, Hefnet, Facebook, or you can find me as Pup_Umber on Twitter.
You can find me on Tumblr or Twitter under the name The Pup Up There, or various bear dating sites across the net under the name Pup Shutter or Cupcake76.
And with that, we are leaving once again to apparently the outro theme song for this season 9, which is Kitty Girl off of RuPaul's American album.
Wow.
Bye.
Bye. Good night, everyone.